Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thus, the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so they might be assimilated by the less intellectual men. Purport. The Veda is one, and the reasons for its divisions in many parts are explained herewith. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmana. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim Brahminical qualification simply by their birthright in the family of a Brahmana claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahmana caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of other castes who do not happen to take birth in a Brahmana family. But both of them are misguided. The Vedas, a subject which had to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the modes of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of the Vedas. The ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. In the Satyuga, everyone was situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and the Dwapar Yugas, and the general mass of people became corrupt. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil. And so, for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by the less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in this shloka, in the next shloka, as follows. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द अपीयरेंस ऑफ श्री नारद। सो द बैकग्राउंड एज यू नो, व्यासदेव हियर, सन ऑफ पराशर मुनि एंड सत्यवती, इज कंफ्यूज्ड। दिस इज बिफोर द कंफ्यूजन द he is about to translate the Vedas, divide the Vedas into different sections, so that the less intellectual men, it is said here, can understand them. So basically, at that time it was just the Yajurveda, which Vyasadev then divided into Rigved, Samved, Yajurved and Atharvaved. And then later on, Vyasadeva also added the Mahabharata, the Puranas, like that. So, Krishna especially takes this incarnation, it's called the literary incarnation, to write the scriptures so that everyone, Vedas is the general body of knowledge. Veda means knowledge, the meaning, and the Vedas consists of knowledge for everyone, and it consists of material as well as spiritual knowledge on all levels. So the Lord Sri Krishna, everyone being his part and parcel, Mahima Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, he wants that everyone make their life successful, and therefore no one is excluded from it. So the Vedas are for right from people who are the Chandala class outside the Varnashram Dharma, who are breaking the principles all the time, right up to the Paramahamsa stage. It is for everyone. Vedanta, the end, conclusive end of the knowledge, deals with the transcendental knowledge of it. But then, most of the Vedic scriptures, it consists of the people for the 400,000 species of life in human beings. Krishna says out of the 8 million are the animal species, animals, birds and beasts, and 400,000 in human species. So they are all the combinations of various modes of material nature within the living creature. So there are kinnaras, gandharvas, you know, pulkashas and all this, and of course the ordinary living entities also, diseased with the different modes of material nature. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, before that actually, you know, like usually in the absence of Vedic literature, what's happening today is people are speculating, or they are, you know, they are following some faith. So they follow some rituals and they think that is all in all. Or then people are becoming atheistic, they're not believing in a God, doing whatever they want. So people who are taking shelter of this pratyaksha, you know, whatever they can see, this is how the world is, based on that anuman, hypothesis, you know. I think the world is like this, and I think Ganesh ji is superior, so I'll worship him. Something like that. So everyone makes up their own systems of faith, and the result is the chaotic condition that we see today. Everything is in chaos. The Vedic knowledge covered everything. Today, mankind is creating the Western science of medicine, you know, the architecture, music, poetry, drama, everything has been created which is different from what the Vedas prescribe. And consequently, it's degrading people more and more. Whatever was given in the Vedas was to elevate people. But whatever is, man has concocted or created outside of the Vedic scriptures is all bound to degrade humanity and send people to the hellish planets. So Krishna says that sannivishto matya smritir gyarapanam cha. So he says that I am seated in everyone's heart and I give them remembrance, forgetfulness and jnana, knowledge. So knowledge has to come from the Lord. It can't be manufactured by people in general as it is happening nowadays and as the modern sciences and all are the subject of. So when the Lord gives that knowledge, then he gives specifically what is to be done. And therefore we find that, you know, there are Vedas deal with the topmost mathematical calculations, complicated maths, advanced maths, architecture, engineering, how to devise planes, how to fight, how to have different mantras for different weapons. They also tell us who is going to come, who is a bona fide incarnation. Jesus Christ, Muhammad, they're all predicted in the Bhavishya Puran. So, therefore we can come to know that they are authorized. They also tell us that how Kali Yuga will be manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyayi upadrata. You know, ladies will be wearing less clothes on them, which we see in reality today. Yeah, men will be known by the hair. You know, they'll keep long hair as a sign of beauty. We see that also happening. So whatever is predicted in the Vedas, it is coming into reality. But, so when we create a society that is not according to Vedas, then people suffer. No matter what, today, by mechanical arrangement, you know, the American politicians, they designed this in just after the Industrial Revolution to, you know, make people work harder. And therefore generate more money in the economy. And they calculate the success of an economy by the general domestic, gross domestic product. The amount of money generated in the economy. And if you compare to what it was generated before, the amounts are huge. But it is all going to the top 1%. Most of the people, they are struggling. So therefore we can see that despite having more money, their economics doesn't work. The general mass of people are suffering. They're creating more poor people. And then we come to the Vedas. The Indians followed the Vedas to a certain extent and India became very prosperous. But because the upper classes, mainly the Brahmanas and all, they then decided to keep the knowledge to themselves instead of sharing it. And therefore they created this caste system which wasn't according to the Varnashram Dharma. Consequently, the Lord's mercy wasn't there. And consequently, even though they were following what was supposed to be the Varnashram system, but which, you know, degraded into the caste system, wasn't workable. So we see India of today. Everyone, you know, in India, they're thinking they're following what is called religion. But because they are not following the authentic Vedas or the Vedic religion, therefore, you know, India is going from a place where it was, you know, like Christopher Columbus wanted to go to India because, you know, he was thinking India at that time was quite rich, prosperous. Even in education, the Japanese and the Chinese scholars used to go there to learn from the Indians. Nalanda, Takshashila, they were huge universities which were known all over the world, international. So India was a seat of learning, seat of education, seat of prosperity because the religion was followed. But as soon as it turned into a caste system, India started becoming poor. And then even those who were following it lost faith because it wasn't working. But it wasn't working because they weren't following it authentically. And now we see that Indians are crazy to go to foreign countries and copy the West. You know, it's reduced to that. And because of that, the Vedic religion has nearly died. And we know that Prabhupada, initially he went, he preached, he started the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And he preached to the Indians. No one wanted to take it up. So then he remembered that my spiritual master wants me to go to the West. And so he came to the West. And he preached what was the real Varnashram Dharma. And he preached from the transcendental, the ambrosial fruit of transcendental knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the essence of all Vedic scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita. And he preached what was the central focus of all Vedic scriptures, you know, that put Krishna in the center, remembering, not to forget Krishna and to remember Krishna always. These are the two main pillars of religion. All other rules and regulations, they are just the servants of these two pillars. So he put Krishna in the center. And we can see that ISKCON, the way ISKCON has prospered, it's really amazing. So this is the proof that the Vedic paradigm works. But then also, because the Vedas are so vast and they are addressing the 400,000 consciousnesses in human beings, therefore, most of it is being used to fulfill the material desires. So most of the, what you call, the Rig Veda, Samved, especially Yajurved, which gives a lot of ritualistic sacrifices to get various things. And the other Vedas, they are mostly prayers to the demigods so that you can attain things of this world and ultimately make your way back to the heavenly abode. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah. So we can see that because Vedas are used for the purpose of having material facilities, then again people are not happy because the Vedas deal with the bodily concept of life, and what you receive from performing those sacrifices affects only the bodily concept of life. It doesn't touch the spirit soul. And therefore, despite the wealth that people have, because they are not trying to follow the real religion of the soul, then they are still unhappy. And therefore, the, you know, Vedic scriptures recommend, Krishna explains that, Traigunya Vishaya Vedya Nistare Guna Bhavarjuna Nirdando Satvastu Niryoga Kshema Atvaman. That the Vedas deal mostly with the three modes of material nature. And therefore, as Prabhupada mentioned in the scriptures, that especially in Kali Yuga, people are mostly in the modes of passion and ignorance. And we know, you know, just checking, I am, definitely am, being pulled by the modes. So it is very difficult to understand this knowledge. Even though Prabhupada, you know, I've been about 21 years in the movement, and still today I'm discovering some of the basics which I should have known years ago. But it's all coming, and that's when you come to know that slowly, one by one, you know, these things are revealed as per Krishna's mercy. Because it's not based on scholarship, is based on Krishna's mercy. So as we access Krishna's mercy, Krishna reveals it. So, Traiguna. So he says that Nirdvanda Sosva, these, you will always remain in duality. The good, the bad, this. But come to the, instead of karma and vikarma, come to the akarma stage. So in the beginning, we find that people take up to the Vedas are mostly karmakandis, performing the rituals to get something. Then there are those who want to get liberation from the bondage of the material nature. And they go into jnana. They go for mukti. And they try to learn about the Brahman. But still, that is not real mukti. Because even they achieve the Brahman status, they remain in the Brahma Jyoti. That is their destination, from which they fall again. Because the spirit soul, which is Satchidananda in nature, can't find its shelter and home in the Brahma Jyoti. So it falls down. So, karma kand doesn't work, jnana kand doesn't work, so therefore Krishna gives the upasana kand. And the upasana kand is what Srila Prabhupada has brought into ISKCON. And we are given the knowledge from the upasana kand, mostly from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because these two give the essence of all the Vedic scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Puran, and Bhagavad Gita is the topmost of the 108 Upanishads. So these two are the ones that we access to lead our spiritual life. And we can see that ISKCON is a practical example. Prabhupada wanted ISKCON not just to be, he made this Varnashram Dharma into a way of life. And just doing that, when we go to places where it is completely, practiced, like in New Vrajadham, you have the eco village, cow protection is there. You have the, schools. You have the brahmacharis. You have the grahasthas. They are all engaged into Varnashram Dharma activities. So when you see that, at that time you know that all the whole economy can be managed accordingly. Krishna explains that each one of us, we are complete and perfect unit of the complete and perfect whole. So similarly, the societies that we create, if we create them as complete and whole, they become examples to the nations of how to run economies. Because right now, as we see, the stock market is a gamble. Yesterday, someone came to me. He's from the stock market. And he's a devotee. And of course, I told him that you have to go ahead and earn as much money as you can, because you have that skill. But you have to use that money to invest it in Krishna conscious projects. Because unless you do that, you won't be happy. Nor will you attain the, the benefit of earning that much money. So, without that, today, stock markets are like that. The medicine industry, the pharmaceuticals, they are not curing anyone. Yeah? Most of the Western medicine has serious side effects. They are not curing anyone. They're totally outside the Vedic paradigm. I was listening to one doctor called B.M. Hegde. You can check him on And he's been to Harvard. He's worked with all the top hospitals in the world. And now he's dedicated his life by opening an institution about educating people about how damaging, you know, Western medicine is for day-to-day, ailments. It is only for the emergencies. If you need something cut from your body, then use it. But otherwise, take shelter of the Vedas, from which the Ayurveda, the homeopathy and all are devised. Because he clearly says that when you take herbs, that is something that is directly, your body accepts it. But chemicals, you know, the body rejects it because it is something beyond the body. And therefore, it does more damage. So similarly, in other ways of life today, you know, Prabhupada mentioned when he came into the West, especially, he saw so many people working in factories, offices and all. And he was shocked that, you know, people could work for 8 hours at their desk. And he called it Ugra Karma. Because it was all a result of the industrial civilization and technology. Using technology to make man work harder and create more resources that way. But at the end of the day, the person who is suffering in it is the human being. And actually the goal of human life is to make human life successful and everything peripheral and subordinate. But modern economy is being based on technology, and man is becoming a pawn who is being misused by technology, and man is suffering. So we can see that when we go against the Vedas, against the Vedic scriptures, life becomes very problematic, very strugglesome. Ugra karma. Ugra literally means horrible. That condemns man to suffering. Like that. So, I'll stop there for a moment to ask, are there any questions so far? Comments, realizations?